So we're on Daf Yud Tes today. We started the Mishnah yesterday, the end of Yud Ches Amud Beis. The Mishnah told us that Kohen Gadol was taken to what was called the Beis Avtinos. Beis Avtinos was a family who were the professionals in making the Ketores, and they would teach him the proper stage of the Ketores. And then they'd make him make a shua that you shouldn't mess up on the Ketores, and the Kohen Gadol would turn around and cry, and the elders of the Beisim would go turn around and cry. And that's what we spoke about yesterday. That was the Mishnah. So the Gemara now goes on to analyze each stage of the Mishnah. Top of Yutes Amin Aleph says the Gemara, Tana Lilamdo Chafina. Why'd he go to Beis Avtinos? To teach him the Chafina. The Chafina was, what they would do is they would take three handfuls of Ketores, and the Kohen Gadol would stick both hands, Chafina, do like that, put it in there, and he'd do some complicated one of the three hardest avodas taking place in the Beis Hamikdash, which is the chafina process. But he'd scoop them up with two hands, and that'd be part of the process. He'd have to carry it in with a pan of coals, like holding onto his arms almost, like that, and then he had to mix them together once he gets into the Ketores, into the Beis Kosher Lashem rather. So they teach him how this process would work. That's what it means, lelamdo chafina. So then the Gemara says, Amar Papa, shtei lishchos hayu lo l'kohen gadol. L'kohen gadol had two lishchos, two of the chambers that were found throughout the Beis Hamikdash, two of them were his. Achas lishchos parhejin, one of them was called lishchos parhejin from the first mission of Yuma, which is where he slept for the 7 days he was preparing. The other one was the Beis Avtinos, which is where he had learned the process of the Ketores. Achas B'tzaf and Achas B'dar. One of them was in the north, one of them was in the south. So let's see, how do we know each were, one was in the north, one was in the south? So the quote of Mishnah, Achas B'tzafon, one of them was in the north, Ditnan, the Mishnah tells us in Masechus Midos, Shisha Lishchos Hayu Ba'azara. There are six different chambers throughout the Azara. Gimel B'tzafon, V'gimel B'darom. Three in the north, three in the south. Shebedarom, the southern ones, Lishchos HaMelach, Lishchos HaParva, Lishchos HaMadichin. Those are the three. What are the function of those three? Lishchos HaMelach, the one, the chamber of the salt. Shesham Hayu Nosin Melach, the carbon. That's where they place salt for the carbon. You know, every single carbon, there's a mitzvah, their eyes, so they had to have salt on it. So this is where the salt would come from. They'd store the salt in this location. Lishchos HaParva. That's where they would salt the skin, the hides of all the various korbanos. And the third chamber in the south was before that, on top of the lishchas parva on the roof, that was a special mikvah on top of the base of parva where the kohen gadol would go into the Yom Kippurim. So we're going to get to in probably 15 blot or so. Gemara discusses it's 13 blot. Gemara discusses the whole process of the kohen gadol makes five tefillas throughout the day of Yom Kippurim. So the very first one he would do would be on the top of this roof, lishchas parva. He'd go dip into that mikvah and then he'd go to the avoda. All the other tefillas he would do throughout the day would be in another mikvah that was located in the Azara. This one was outside the Azara on the rooftop of the Lishchas HaParva.
Here it says that there was a natural Mayan, spring that brought the water all the way to the top, higher than that, and used to come down.
Right, the more I discussed how they had this ramp, a little.
But the water got up there through natural.
Right.
Yeah. Spring.
So I'm trying to see. Do I have
the water went down, from up down.
Yes, but it got up all the way to the top, higher than the roof, through a mayan, a natural mayan.
Right, so if anyone wants to see the pictures here.
What? Like it went up.
Yeah. Hamayim higiu sham beofen tivi mimayan sheya gavua migak lishkat haparva.
There's a spring that's
so
high up.
The water came from a higher place, low, to a low place.
Yeah.
I know that. I thought the way you explain it is the opposite, from a low place to a higher place.
No, because the water naturally comes from the ground.
Springs forward.
Because the Beit HaMikdash was the highest place in the mountain.
Which
six. So there was no higher mountain there.
Oh, so the Mayan itself was high.
Right.
Then the water came out and
down.
Also, that they eat supper.
Okay. Now those were the three. Okay, so if anyone sees, there's a picture here, my fancy masifta here. This is the south of the Azara. These are the three, the right one here? It's hard to see upside down. This one, right here. This is Lishchas HaMadichin, where they'd wash. Lishchas HaParva, on top of that was a base of tefillah there. And Lishchas HaMadichin, Lishchas HaMelach. Those three chambers were all next to each other, and that's what they thought it looked like.
Oh.
We'll see in a second on top of this one, the Lishkas Madichan, there was like the staircase the Gemara is going to describe in a moment. So those are the three chambers that were found in the south. Are we into one? We missed one. And then Lishkas Parhet and Lishkas Madichan, there's a third Lishkas on the south. That was the Madichan, which means to wash. Sham Hayu Madichan Karve Kachim. They'd wash the insides of the Karbanos. So you look at Tosos for a moment, top Tosos, Shesham Madichan Kachim. Hadda Mina La'el, we saw earlier. The Shulchanos Hayu Bazar, La Hadia Halein Hakachim. Describing the different measurements of the Azara, the north of the Mizbech had a bunch of tables, a bunch of Shekhanos. And the Shekhanos were used to wash the Kachim. So we say there's tables used to wash the Kachim, and here we're saying we're using the Lishka to wash the Kachim. So why do you need two places to wash the Kachim? And Tosfos says, Yesh Lomar, Debasar Kachim Madichin al Shekhanos, Aval Krave Kachim Shesh Ben Parashim Yisei Madichin al Shekhanos Madichin. The actual karbanos they'd wash on the tables. The insides, all the disgusting parts of the animals, that they would take to the Lishkas Madichan and wash it there.
According to our scroll, it was the first, like the real dirty stuff was taken in the bottom, and then it's at the harishana shel ha kribayim asu belishkat hamadichim leasir mehem et haifresh et achar kach hotziu et hakravim el hashulchanot shamdu be'azara mitzafon lamizbeach kedei liadicham yafe.
So that's the order. So first they take the bad stuff and then wash it,
right,
and then the good stuff they take. Right. I see.
How did it work then? There was no hoses and, you know, with fresh.
They had a little stream of water going throughout the base of Mikdash. I'm not sure if they used that for it.
Pail.
Right. Bema, you need to wash really, you know, with the Gernik.
Okay, so it says the Mishnah, Gemara's quoting the Mishnah, it says further, on top of this Lishkas HaMadichan, Umisham, from there, Misiba Ola Lagag, they have this staircase, like a circular staircase that would go to the roof, the Beis HaParva, that's how you could access the Beis HaTfila, that's on top of the Beis HaParva. So that was what this picture looked like. Now, Gimel Batuf, on the three that were in the north, Lishkas HaEitz, Lishkas HaGolav, Lishkas HaGazis, those are the three in the north. So what were the function of these three? Lishkas HaEitz, Amar Rabbi Eliezer Ben Yaakov, Shachachti Mahayes Mishameshes, I forgot what it was. We saw this already language before, he had forgotten. Now, Bashal Omer, Lishkas Kohen Gadol HaYisa, Acharei Shtehem, behind two of them, there was a Lishkas Kohen Gadol, Vigag Shloshtan Shava, and the roof of these three were all equal. Okay, so we see that there's a Lishka, at least in the north. We don't know what Lishka was for. The Lishka of the Kohen Gadol was in the north. That's why we brought this, the Braisa here, this mission here. So what was the function of these three? Lishkas HaGola was Sham HaYubor HaGola, VaGilgal Nasin Alav. They had a well there, and they had a whole process of pulling up with a pail. This is what your question was. That's where they drew all the water for all the things needed for the Azara. Lishka Gazis, the second Lishka, what's called a Gazis, Sham Hayasas Sanhedrin Shal Yisrael, Yoshim Vedonas Kohanim. And that's where the Sanhedrin would sit in Lishka Gazis, and they would check every single Kohen who would come, they would check him, see whether he was possible or not, whether he's a good kasher to
but
be gone.
This is the one that was outside, right? Not inside the Azara, or no?
Because everything is inside.
But hold on 1 second. Because they weren't able to be inside the Sanhedrin.
You're right. It must have been right outside. You're right. Must have been right outside. You see how it is. I think in my diagram,
it was
half
inside it, because exactly. Otherwise it couldn't be there.
You're right.
Lama.
Because the Sanhedrin wasn't allowed to be.
Only the Kohanim come in the Azara.
Well, which one is the Azara?
Here. I mean, did you have Azrat Nashim, Azrat...
Unless it's one of those areas, right. Unless,
yeah, but here, 23, let me see. Ishkat Beit Ha'even.
According to mine, it's not inside the Azara.
22, 1 second. Here, Lishkat Ha'gazid Makom Shashim, 22. Oh, so right, so it was right outside, you see?
Right, exactly.
Okay.
And Umishinim Sebo Psula, someone who would be found to have a Psula, and one of the Kohanim, Hayalovish Chorm, he'd put on black clothing, Musatif, and adorn himself, Shchorim, Yotzev Holichlo, and you go. Very sad, of course. He said, I'm sorry, you can't be a Kohen, you're Pasul. Vishlo Nimsev Psula, a Kohen who's not found to be Pasul. Hayalovish Levonim, he'd wear white clothing, Musatif Levonim, Nichlasim Shamish, and Machavakonim, and you'd go work. So we see that overall there are three different Lishkas in the north and in the south. And the three in the, according to my diagrams here, if anyone wants to see, the three in the north are over here. So this is the north right here. So you have Lishchas HaGazus and Lishchas HaGol and Lishchas HaEitz. All
this,
three of them.
This is the
big one. This is right. This is the north.
It's the same drawing. Okay.
Yeah. And this would be the, this is the
south. Yeah, it's the right mikvah. The blue exactly. is the mikvah on top.
So you have three on top and three on the bottom.
Right.
And
here you have four. What, you have 24 and where? 25.
There's three. 22 is something different.
That's no,
different
no, this is Lishkat HaSanhedrin. This is.
Oh, what's 23 then?
Lishkat Beit HaEven.
That's different.
Yeah, 23.
Based
okay,
different.
Yeah, the one that goes outside.
Right.
Okay.
That's how it was. And this is how the image looks in 3D level. The three of them have equal tops according to the Gemara. All have an even roof. And apparently right outside the northern, right outside the northern one, there should have been a Lishchas, one of the Lishchas for the Kohen Gadol was there. It doesn't say where it was or what it was yet, but there was some type of Lishcha, the Mishnah I mentioned. Okay. So that's, we bring all that to teach us that there's one Lishcha in the north for the Kohen Gadol. Now, a couple of interesting things come out of this Mishnah here. The Lishchas Eitz.
So how do you read that through the chema chatzas of bruises? If it falls down,
Well, one of the lishchas, one of the chambers that were in the north, was called the lishchas eitz. Mishnah doesn't tell us what the function of lishchas eitz was. He had forgot what it was used for. So the Tosfos Yontif writes, it was called lishchas eitz because it was built out of wood. Everything else, as you saw in the pictures, were made from stone. The lishchas eitz was made of wood. So the Ravid asks, there's an isser deraisa, you can't build anything in the base of Mikdash from wood. Everything had to come from stone. There's an isser that cannot come from wood. So how could the Ravid say, how could someone say that the Lishchas HaEitz was built from wood? So the Ravid says the only isser to build Eitz is only near the Mizbeach here. That's where the isser takes place. Anywhere outside of that, there's no isser to build with wood. So since Lishchas HaEitz was found somewhere on the outskirts of the Azara, it wasn't Bechal the Isser placing any wood down in the base of Mikdash. Kesem Mishnah argues that it's not called Lishchas HaEitz because it was made from wood. In fact, it was made from stone, like everything else was made from stone. It was called Lishchas HaEitz because sometimes they would actually store wood in that Lishcha, and that gave its name Lishchas HaEitz. Okay. So let's go.
This, it's independent to number 11 that was when they used to check the wood, right? This is where?
Yes, different.
Which one is
exactly.
I don't have here Lishkat HaEitz. Which one is supposed to be?
Lishkat HaEitz is should be one of these, 24 or 25.
What does Lishkat Parhed mean? Which we learned before, right? Lishkat Lishkat Hagola. Shisham Haya Bor Maim Imenu Ayu Masaki Maim in Azara. Maim La Azara.
One of them should be Lishchas HaEitz.
It's a different Girsa. Right. Learning that. Okay.
Okay, so now the Gemara says, Achas Bedarm. How do we know there is one in the south? How do we know there is one Lishcha of the Kohen Gadol in the south? First Mishnah proved us that there's a Lishcha of the Kohen Gadol in the north. Now we want to prove that there's a Lishcha for the Kohen Gadol in the south. Achas Bedarm. The Mishnah tells us another Mishnah in Shvi and Tamid. Shiva Sharim Hayu Bazara. There are seven different gates throughout the Azara. Shlosha B'Tzafon, Shlosha B'Darom, Ve'acha B'Mizrach. Three in the north, three in the south, and one in the east. Shebadarum, there was three in the south, Shar HaDalaka. Sheni La, the second to that one, was Shar HaKarbon. Shlishi La, Shar HaMayim. So those are the three in the south, three southern gates. Halaka, Mayim, and Karbon. So Rashi says he doesn't know why it's called Shar Laka, he doesn't know why it's called Shar Laka, but he says, I do know why it's called Shar Maim, because that was the gate that they would enter in, that
which
they would...
Shar Laka.
Yeah. And Shar, he doesn't know the reason why Shar Laka and Shar HaKarbon, but he said, I know why it's called Shar Maim, because on Sukkot, there was a special halacha that for the Karbonos, they would bring Nisach HaMaim. They'd bring, draw water from the well, from the spring, and they'd pour that on the Mizbeach to accompany the Karbon Tamid. That was called Nisach HaMaim. So when they draw the water from the spring, they would go through this gate, Al Shar HaMaim. That was in the south.
Okay, then the Rosh says that Meparshim Shaderech Shar Ze Haknisay Ichnisu Et Atzei Hamaracha Shedalku Ala Mizbeach. So that's why it's called
Shahar Laka.
Shahar Laka.
Okay, people bringing the firewood would go through that gate for to get bring it to the Mizbeach.
You know Hebrew very well, you see. You understand very well.
I read it every day.
No, you read like a modern Hebrew and you understand everything.
It's I read
all day. There's a big difference between to read, you know, Lashon HaKodesh and learn it and with Perushim. This is a very modern Hebrew, very simple, you know, everyday language.
I think it's simple Hebrew. I wouldn't understand a newspaper, an Israeli newspaper, that I wouldn't understand.
I mean, Nefesh HaChaim,
my problem, my biggest problem in Hebrew is when they write Western words in Hebrew, and then you can't figure out that they're trying to do that.
It's microwave.
Philosophy, exactly. And like they put all those words, and you're figuring out what's the Hebrew word, and you're like, oh no, it's an English word.
If you want to learn all those types of words, you need a Rapinkus. He has a ton of those types of words.
You guys, Moshe Feinstein has
a lot of Hebrew words. Yeah. A lot of
those are all like, now they've been like re-edited in a way, in formats that are very easy to read, and like, it's like you get the, you know, it's
it was
like
fun trying to write Israelis, an English word in Hebrew.
You have right away. That's an American word in Hebrew. In 1 second.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So, I have to process. Not necessarily American, Latinic, whatever.
Whatever
the language is.
The disadvantage they have, they understand the words. So you think that you understand the words, you understand the concepts, right? And sometimes you would think that. It doesn't always work that way. With us, we're struggling on both ends, so what ends up happening is as a result of struggling both ways, your mind is already working harder to understand the words to begin with, and you're, like, pushing harder. When you understand the English, you could read something and assume you understand it, but you don't. It's like you read a Kiddush HaSlev, but you think you understand it, and you have no clue what you just read.
All right, we'll get there.
1 minute at a time.
You're good with it.
Okay. So the Mishnah continues in the Gemara. So those were the three gates that are found on the south. Shar of Sheba Mizrach, the eastern gate, as we saw a number of times already, was called Shar Nikner. And Shte Lishchos Hayu Sham, the eastern gate, there were two Lishchos, rather, on each side. Achas B'yamin, Achas B'smolo. They're one on the left, one on the right, when you enter through the Shar Nikner. And Achas Lishchos Pinchas, one of them is called the Lishchos Pinchas HaMelabish. So what was the function of that? That was the name of it.
Malbish.
What I'm saying, that's where they would get dressed? The Kohanim would get dressed there? Shama yu
ha-Kohanim menichim et bigdei ha-kehuna ve-lovshim u-poshtim otam.
Okay, so that's these gates here.
Yeah.
One was 16, one was 17.
This one, the 16 and 17.
Ricky
the first Malbish was Pinchas.
That's it.
Really?
Yeah. I remember with the Rav Shiel. And it says here.
Yes. Pinchas would be Malabish other people. He would get other people dressed.
Yeah, Kohanim.
Uh-huh. Oh, this is the beautiful picture here of mine. I see you have the gate, a 3D version gate, and then there's one lishcha here with the other lishcha there. This is lishchas Pinchas, this is lishchas
right. Okay. And the Sharnikanor is in the center,
exactly,
right?
Exactly, right. Oh, you're coming really this way.
Mizrach is this way.
You're coming in to the Mizbeach. Yeah. So lishchas
in the main thing.
This is the Mizbeach. That's where most of the Avodah would take place. That was the main Maracha. That was like where the big fire went, where most of the Karbanos would go. That was a pile of ashes.
The Shim is here.
This is over here, exactly.
This is according to Rishad that the Mizrach, that wasn't in the middle.
Exactly, not like a Rabbi Yehuda, exactly.
Right, not like Rabbi Yehuda. Very interesting.
This is the Kosh Kodashim here from the other, this is from looking from the south to the north. This is the Shar Nikanar, the Mizbeach, and this is the Kodesh Kodashim here.
Oh, in a big building.
Yeah, big Chosha building.
Yeah, it was huge. This door was 40
amos. 40 amos, right.
40 amos.
So that's where the Kohen gets in Yom Kippurim.
He went all the way to the back.
This is where there's the menorah was inside this building with menorah, a small mizbeach, and a shulchan.
This is this.
Right, from the...
So the first 20 amos were
this. This is only once a year?
No, this part,
55, yeah.
Right. Okay, so when you enter in the Shar Nikanor, so the right side, one of the sides was the Lishchas Pinchas HaMelabish, Pi'achas, the other one was Lishchas Osei Chavitim, where they make the Chavitim, the various Chavitim were there. Okay, so that's what was in the east. Now, Shebet Tzafon, what was the northern gates? Shar Nitzitz, Binyan Achsa, Shar Nitzitz. What was the Shar Nitzitz used for?
Which one, Shebet Tzafon?
Does that say the Shar Nitzitz is for?
I'm sure it's Tzafon 7.
Rashi doesn't tell us.
No, it doesn't say Shar Nitzitz. It was sparkling from diamonds.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Nothing more than that.
Where are we holding?
24. Shalom Nitzotz.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, so Shabbat Tzafon, Shara Nitzos. They had this Shara, the gate of the Nitzos.
It says.
Yeah.
Shara Nitzos Hayadome was looked like Le'achsadra. Beze, in it, Shebaltu Shnei Ketalim, that two walls were outside than the others. Michumat Azara, from Udechum Azara. Mishne Tzidei Shara, from both sides of the gate. El Toch Shetah Harabait. Inside the Harabait, to the side of him, Gag Banuy Aleihem, with the roof on top of it.
Right here.
While the fourth side was stayed open. Mikan Shmo Shara Nitzotz, Al Shem Nitzotzei Karnei HaShemesh, Sheiru Et Pnei HaShar, because of that structure, so the sun
beamed off it.
Yeah, exactly.
This is the version here, the aerial view.
Right.
And this is the 3D view.
It's good. It's a good combination.
Sticks out, and then you see the old like marpeset on top.
Right.
And then this is the entrance. So this is the Shar Nitzutz. This is the Lishchas, the Shar Nitzutz on top of Zach Saja, which was, how do you say that in English? The marpeset, let's call it. Right. An open, it's a type of room with without a ceiling on top of it. So again, Shar Nitzutz continues the Gemara according to the Mishnah. Shar Nitzutz was binyan achsad jahaya. It was this opening on top. Ve'alea banuaya lo agabav, and on top of it was this. Ve'aliyah, right? The attic, the second level, was built on top of it. The sham kanim shomer milamala, and there the kanim would stand on top to do shmira. We'll get to in a second what that means. Ulevim milamata, and the levim would be below that. So one of the Din Moed's requirement, the Maseches Tamid, the second to last Masech in Kachim, talks in great length about Shmira, that they have to be Shomrim, they're Kohanim and Levim doing Shmira. There are 24 different locations where there's Shmira being done, and they do a whole calculation based on the various gates and the corners. So there are, I think, 21 places where their Levi was doing the Shmira, and there are 3 places where the Kohen was doing Shmira.
Right.
So there are a total of 24, and the Machlok is exactly about it. So in this particular area, the Kohen, according to Moshe Shom, the Kohen was standing on top, on the second level, looking down, the Levi was below him by the gate. So the Mefarshim try to understand, what's Pshat? Why do you need 2 gates, 2 Shomim at 1 gate? So the way I think the Mishnah Melech explained is, part of the Dinim of Shmira, there's 2 reasons for Shmira, Big Machlok is Rishonim. The simple reason for Shmir is to make sure nobody enters the Beis HaMikdash who shouldn't be entering to the Beis HaMikdash. No, make sure no Zar, no non-Kohen walks in, nobody Tamei comes in. That's right. The Pashup Shah. The second din of Shmir, the Rama has a very beautiful understanding, Hilchus Beis Bechir, he writes, the purpose of Shmir is when you go to the palace, when you go to Buckingham Palace, the guards there are not really protecting. It shows kavod. They do the march and back and forth. It shows honor to the Beis. Exactly. So that's the idea. The Shmir was not necessarily for a practical reason. It was to show kavod. This is the palace. That's the Rambam, right? Perek Yud, is it?
That's Rambam Beis
Chet. Okay. So that's the idea. So even though you're right, practically speaking, you don't need a Kohen, a Levi, 2 people in one spot, but it shows honor. There's one guy here, there's one guy there, and it just shows a lot of kavod to the Beis HaMikdash.
Right.
Okay, now the Gemara says further, quoting from the Mishnah still, so that was one gate that was found in the north, the Shar Nitzutz. Shilifnim Himenu, closer into the Mizbeach, closer into the Beis HaMikdash, the second gate was Hachel. No, I'm saying this is the Chel. That was that sound. That was that little fence that was around it. That was right next to this gate. If you see in my picture here, I must have that somewhere here. What does it mean by the Chel here? Right, it was just opened up. They had this little fence that went around the Beis HaMikdash, like I have in my picture here. There was an opening. There were a bunch of breaches in the fence. They had 13 breaches, I think it was. One of the breaches was right by this exit here. So Shar Nitzis was here, and they had an opening in the Chel, and the fence that went around it. Okay, so next to it, and next to that was, where am I now? Sheni Lo was Shar HaKarbon. What was the function of Shar HaKarbon? Did we have that? Is there anything in the Shar HaKarbon here? On the bottom here? That's where they apparently would bring in the Kachay Kachim would enter through this gate of Shar HaKarbon. And then the Mishnah says the third gate in the north, the Shlishi Lo Shar Beis HaMukad. What's Beis HaMukad? V'tanya, Chamesh Tvilos V'asar Kedushin Tova Kohen Gadol Mekadesh Bo Bayom. On Yom HaKippurim, the Kohen Gadol would dip 5 times, and he would wash his hands, a total of 10 hands and legs and feet, 10 different times. The Kul and all of them were al gag Beis HaParva. We're all on top of the Beis HaParva we mentioned before. That was that mikvah that was on top of the Beis HaParva. That was in the south. That was in the south, right? The Chutz Mizu, except for this one, Shehaisa B'chol, this mikvah that's found by Beis HaMukar was actually in the Chol, situated in the Chol, Agave Shar HaMayim, on top of the Shar HaMayim, Uvita Lishchaso Haisa, next to his Shar Lishcha. So we see from here that there's a, this is a second Lishcha, that this Lishcha was found in the north. So this Mishnah tells us there's a Lishcha in the north of the Kohen Gadol. The previous Mishnah told us there's a Lishcha in the south of the Kohen Gadol. But the Mishnah does not tell us, though, which Lishcha was which. Which one was the Lishcha's Parhedrin, which was the Lishcha's Beis Aftinus. We do know, again, the Kohen Gadol had two Lishchos. Beis Parhedrin, where he would sleep, and Beis Aftinus, where he would learn the process of the Ketaros. One was in the north, one was in the south. We don't know which is which. Now the Gemara is going to understand, after all that, now we hopefully have some, at least, overview of the various Lishchos and the various Sharim, the gates. The Mishnah Gemara says, V'lo yadana, Lishchas Parhedrin b'tafon, v'lishchas Beis Aftinus b'darom. We don't know if the Parhedrin was in the north and the Beis Aftinus was in the south. Oh, lishchas Beis Aftinus b'tafon, v'lishchas Parhedrin b'darom. Or maybe the lishchas Aftinus was in the north and the Parhedrin was in the south. Well, Mustafa, the Gemara says, it's quite logical to say the following. The lishchas Parhedrin, where he slept, was b'darom, was in the south. Why was that logical to say that his little house was in the south? Have, my taima. What's the reasoning? Because Makdim Kai, he's going to wake up. He's going to wake up early. He's going to go to the bathroom. V'tavol, he's going to go to the mikvah. V'alzal l'tav, and then he'll go to the north. V'gamar chafina, and then he learn the chafina of Ash l'beis hamikdash. So what's going to happen is he's let's say for a second the lishkas parhedrin's in the south. He's going to wake up in the morning, and the mikvah, we said the mikvah, the beis hamukad, was in the south. He wake up in the morning and just go to the bathroom and go to the mikveh right next to him. Doesn't have to really turn over much. Then after he learns in the after he goes to the mikveh in the south, he goes to the north to go to learn Beis Aftinus how to do the Ketaros. Then he does the avodah the rest of the day. So that makes sense. Why? Let's keep reading. Vashla the Beis Hamikdash. He goes to the Beis Hamikdash and avodah avodah kol yomo. And then he goes to do the avodah the rest of the day. The bahad panya before the sunset. He's madele. We sprinkle the mechatas on him. Remember, we spoke about the Mishnah sprinkling the mechatas on him. V'hadar, then he'd azladam. He'd go back to the south. The tava going to the mikvah in the south again, where that's the mikvah Beis HaMukar was located. V'nayich, and then he'd like go to sleep. Day would be over. So, because the Iyamrit lishchas parhedrin b'safon. If you're going to say Lishcha Parhedrin is in the north now, so watch what the Kohen Gadol has to do. Makdim Kai, he's going to wake up early. Umeisach, go to the bathroom. Meisach Raglav, go to the bathroom. Vazlo Dom, then he's got to go all the way to the south now. Vitavel, go to the mikvah in the south. And then Vigamra Chafina, then he's got to go back to the north to learn the Chafina of Beis Aftinus. And then, sorry, no, I'm sorry, in the south was where the Beis Aftinus would be now. He learned in the south. And then Vasa, Beis Hamikdash, then he go to the Beis Hamikdash. Vavravo de Kula Yoma, you have to do the vote the entire day. Before sunset, they sprinkle mechatas on him. Then you go back to the south yet again. Go to the mikvah. And then you have to go back to the north one more time. And go to sleep.
Yeah, we need Google Maps for this.
Right.
When you talk about the mikvah, you're talking about the one that's on the roof, the one that's on the Yisudu, or that's talking about
which
one
sorry?
Yom Kippur. The mikvah is the one that we saw.
The one in the north.
The roof?
That was only for Yom Kippurim.
And which was the mikvah then?
The Beis HaMukad is...
Ah, the one that is really here.
Beis HaMukad would be here.
Yeah, it's one of these ones. Okay, yeah.
No.
No, you have other ones there that are the blue on top.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe go to the...
Oh, 43. What's 43? 43. Shara Maim, Shayag Yago Mikveh. Which one is he using every day?
The one on top of Shara Maim. Tabashar Mayim, which will be this one.
Right, so that's the one. Okay, so that's the one that's on top.
Is that Shar Mayim? No, Shar Mayim is a different one. It's not in this picture.
This is Lishkat Parva.
These are Lishkos. You need the gates. You need the picture of the gates.
Ah, okay.
It must be this one. It must be 43. That's the one he's going to do in the south.
Okay.
So again, there's one Lishka. Let's follow the path for a second. We have one Lishka here, one Lishka here. We don't know which is which. If the Lishka Parhedrin's in the south, he wakes up, goes to the mikvah. No, right now we don't know. The Gemara doesn't know. There's a lishka here, a lishka there.
Goes to the bathroom, goes to the mikvah.
Goes up here to learn the chafina, does the avoda, and goes to do a mikvah again, that's it. If the lishka's parhedrin's on top here, the Beis Aftinus is down here, he wakes up. Then he has to go down here to go to the mikvah. learns based on. Then he goes here. Then he has to go to the mikvah again and then go back to sleep. There's like an extra trip he has to take.
It's 135 amos.
It's not right. It's not terrible.
No.
So the Gemara says so. It's got to be that the lishchas b'hedrin is in the south because he this way he could save himself a couple trips. Because umitarch bar tarchino kulahai, we're gonna make him go through so much trouble. The Kohen Gadol.
Maybe it's kedai. They want to make sure the guys are in shape.
Ah.
You know? That's what I was thinking.
The Gemara says it's kedai, but not to make him in shape though. And he says it's kedai. So alam alo, why not? Alam alo mat shikhin alay, tfei. Why don't we make him do tircha? He should be a little worked up a little bit.
They're wearing skirts, you know, that had airflow, you know.
So not that reasoning. The Gemara says, why do you want to be matriach l'kohen gadol? Because it's each saduki who, lifrosh, it's stuki. He's like, oh, this is crazy. Every day, for 7 days, I got to do this? It's too much work for me. So hopefully, if it's stuki, we could discourage him from doing this. So we want to be matriach l'kohen gadol more. Inami, alternatively, a good reason to be matriachim is shalom tazuach daito alav. He shouldn't be so haughty. I'm the Kohen Gadol, I go to the Kosh Kedoshim, they treat me well. No. You're going to run around. When you're the leader, you're going to work hard. Being a leader doesn't mean you sit back and enjoy the show. You're going to be a leader. So you have to back and forth, and only if you really want to do it. It's great, Musser. I told my daughter the other day, I said to her, listen, you have good leadership qualities, but to be a leader doesn't mean you boss everybody around. To be a leader means you have to know what everyone wants, you have to work for them, make everybody happy. That's what a leader means.
A good leader knows how to motivate, lead through example.
But it doesn't mean...
Not just delegate.
Exactly. My daughter's only 9. Okay. Yeah. So says the Gemara continues, Dilo Temahachi, if that were not the case... Why not make both lishchas next to each other? Make life very easy. Make the lishchas par hedgin next to the mikvah, next to the base of tinas. He could wake up, go to the mikvah, walk right next to the base of tinas, and everything would be good. The fact that we're already separating the two lishchas tells us we want to have some type of effort taking place here. So we're going to maximize the effort and make him go back and forth as many times as possible. Inami, alternatively, you could have tiskei lebechada. Why not have one lishcha? Have one big lishcha. He sleeps there, and he learns the avodah of the ketores all in the same place. The fact that we're separating them to two, the fact that we're separating them to two different locations, tells us we're trying to matriach them as much as possible. Okay, that concludes this discussion.
When it's just shelot achuz dal to alav, shelot gaim achmat
mechamat.
Mechamat, what is it?
He doesn't want to be a Balgaiva. He's like, if.
Okay. It shouldn't be, okay.
So it says the Gemara now. Gemara 3 lines from the bottom of the Testament Aleph. Ooh, it's getting late. Amru lo ishe kohen gadol v'chule. So the Basin, the Zikne Basin would say, listen, our master kohen gadol, we are the representatives of Basin, and you are our shliach. Make a following shua. So the Gemara says, Lema, say as follows, Teve. Tiyufta, this should be a kasha to the opinion of Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua. Why? The Amr of Huna Brei Rav Yeshua, Hani Kahani Shlo Shluchei D'Rachmanin. Big Machlokas, the Gemara Nedarim, and I think Kedushin and other places, when the Kohen works in the Avodah, the Beis HaMikdash, is he representing Kadosh Baruch Hu? Is he Kadosh Baruch Hu Shluchim, or is he representing Klal Yisrael, our Shluchim? So the fact that our Mishnah says, you are our Shluchim, sounds like it goes against Rav Huna, who held that, no, they were Shluchei D'Rachmanin, the Shluach of Hashem. And what was the reasoning of Rav Huna? He held the shluchim of Rachmaninu. They have to be the shluchim of Hashem, because the Amis shluchim didaninu. If you were to say they're shluchim of us, of people, so then, well, a few pages to turn here. Mi ikamidei. Is there such a thing that anan lo matzino lemidai veda shluchim didan mitzvah avdi? Is there ever a case where the mishaleach cannot do something, but the shliach can do something? So it comes up. This case comes up a lot. For example. Let's say you want to be, it's not going to be the best example, but I'll say it anyways. So let's say you have a son, and you have to give your son a bris milah. The obligation's on the father. The father's not learned, he's not a mohum. So actually, that's a bad example, I shouldn't say. That's not a different case. Right, that's a different example. Basically, I can't think of a good example right now, but basically the concept is, anything that the mishalech, that I'm sending, I myself can't do, the shliach can't do it either. The shliach is simply representing me. So if the Kohen is representing me, if I can't do the Avodah, I can't do Zrika, I can't do Kabbalah, the Kohen can't do it either. So the fact must be that the Kohen is not our Shliach, the Shliach, he must be a Shliach of Hashem. Because he's, again, if he's representing us, he couldn't be doing the Avodah because we can't do the Avodah. That's the reasoning of Rav Huna. So it must be that our Mishnah is not like Rav Huna, because our Mishnah says, no, in fact, the Kohen is a Shliach of us, of Didan.
Of course.
So Gemara says, no, Hachi Kamar. This is what the Basin says. Mashbin anu alecha al datenu al das Basin. We're not saying you are our shluchim, you are representative necessarily. We're simply saying you're taking a shvua according to what we think, and according to what Basin thinks, not according to what you think, according to what we think. We're not talking about the nature of the shlichus, just who's das. Our das is you have to do the Ketores properly. You're making a shvua according to what we have in mind, not what you have in mind. You can think all you want, but that shvua doesn't take effect. Okay, let's go by now. The Gemara says, "Who power ishu boche v'hein forshin boken."
The Gemara is short, so we can actually we can stop at the Mishnah.
Oh, true. The Gemara is pretty short. Okay, we can stop at the bottom of the Mishnah.
We still have our work cut out for us.
All right, we're fine. So after they take the shvua, the Kohen Gadol would turn and cry, and the Ziknei Basin would turn around and cry. Why? Who power ishu boche? Explains the Gemara. Shechashdu tzduke because they're choshed him k'sherim. He was a kosher person. You can't be choshed a person who's kosher and something he's not. They're choshed that he was a tzaduki. The v'heim portion of Bochan, they would turn around and cry. Damar b'shuben Levi, kol ha-choshed b'ksherim lokeb b'gufo. Anybody who's choshed somebody else b'ksherim, he is subject to getting lashes. V'chol kach lama. Why would they choshed him at all? Shelo yitakim b'chutz v'yikanis k'derach ha-shed tzaduk molson. Because the way the tzadukim understood was that they would take, as we mentioned yesterday, they would take the hot coals and then take the incense, mix them together outside the kosher kashrim, and while the incense would be coming up and smoking, they enter in at the same time. Well, according to the way we understand the Torah, should be understood is that they know you bring the pan and the chafina the way it was again. You had the Torah, your handful of the spices. You'd be holding on top of your elbows almost, inside of your elbows, the pan. You'd go inside the kosher kashrim. Inside the kosher kashrim, you'd mix them on top of the aron, and then the smoke would come out. So to preclude them from doing that, we'd make them make this shvua. So says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, Ma'isa b'tzaduki yechad. There's once a Ma'isa, the actual event that happened with tzaduki, who became the Kohen Gadol. Shehiskin mebuchutz v'hichnas b'yitziyaso. He did this. He mixed the hot coals and the spices outside the Kohen Gadashim again to the halacha and went inside. Hayasameach simcha gadola. He was so happy. Ah, I finally did it. I'm the one tzaduki to do this. Pagabaviv, he met up with his father afterwards. Amarlo b'ni, my son, apa pisha tzadukim anu. Even though we're the tzadukim and we hold this way, misyarem anu minat prushim. We're very scared of the prushim. We're scared of the people who will explain the meaning Torah Shabbal Peh. So Amarlo, he says to his father, ko yomai hayisim etzar al mikrezeh. I was always so troubled about this pasuk, which says, ki ba'anon erel ha-kaporas. So, ki ba'anon erel ha-kaporas literally means, with the cloud of smoke, you should enter into the Kodesh Kedoshim. Pasha Pshat is that you're supposed to do it, fix it on the outside, like the Tzedukim understand it. But since they rejected the Torah Shabbal Peh, they didn't understand, they didn't have the Chacham's interpretation of the Pasuk. So Pasha Pshat is they were right. So I was always bothered by this Pasuk, says the son. So Amarti, I said to myself, Masa Yavo Liyadi, when am I going to have opportunity, Vayikamenu, and be Mekindness? Achshav Shabbal Liyadi, now I have a great opportunity, I've been appointed to Kohen Gadol. Lo Akamenu, I'm not going to do it? So of course I'm going to do it. So Amru Lo Amru, they say Lo Hayu Yomim Muatim. They were in just a few days. Ad Shemes until he died. Hutal Ba'ashba, he was thrown into the garbage. Vahayu Tolan Yotzin Mechotma, and there were worms coming from his nose. V'yesh Amrim Yitziaso Nigaf. Others say no. When he left, he was like a magefa happened to him. Ditani Revichia Kimin Kol Nishma Bazara. Like a voice came from the Azara. Sheba Malach. A Malach came. Bechavto upon him and smashed him in his face. When the brothers came, they found like a footprint in between his shoulders. His like head was like compressed between his shoulders.
Nice and graphic.
Right. So this is what happened here. Now, Rashi explains why were there worms coming out of his nose. So you look at Rashi, Mechotmo. He says, Shehu rishon le'evarim likanis lebeis lebeis. When a person walks in, the nose is the first thing that gets there. Okay, fine. Now, there's a Tosin Shanim here who says that his hands were really came in first because he was holding everything like that. So his hands actually entered before his nose. So his hands should get, not his nose. So Tosin Shanim explains why from his nose, why were worms coming from his nose? Because Mida connected Mida. He violated the Ketoris, which was the part of the Reach of smell. So he in turn was part of the Onish, was the Talam coming through his nose. Gemara continues. And says Amar Zicharia ben Kfuta, quoting from the Mishnah. So remember, the Mishnah had told us that the night of Yom Kippur, we try to keep him up, teaching him interesting stories of the Tanakh. So the Gemara, the Mishnah had said, what would you read? You read Eov. Eov was a very fascinating story. The stories of Ezra and Divrei Yom were also very interesting. Zicharia ben Kavuta came along and said sometimes in his time period they read about Daniel. So Gemara says, Masni la Rav Chanan bar Rava lechia. He was teaching Rav Chia bar Rav. Kamei Rav in front of Rav. You never want to give a shir in front of another big Rav. I was once giving a shir, giving a chabura Thursday nights, and the person who was hosting the chabura, he wanted to make it into a seam. Also, I said, not a problem. You can make it into a seam. But he decided to invite other rabbanim who were there, much greater than I am. I was very uncomfortable giving a shir, what we were learning in front of a big rav. I said, I'm not giving shir. If he's here, he could give shir. I'm not giving the shir. So be very careful when you give a shir in front of a rav. So what happened? So if Hanan was giving a shir, he was teaching Chia. And Rav happened to be sitting there also. So what did he say? He was teaching the mission in Yuma here. We just learned. Amar Rebbe Zicharia ben Kifuta with a pay. Umachle Rav biyade Kivutal. No, you pronounced it wrong. Wasn't Kifutal? Kivutal with the vase. Okay? But he only pointed out, he saw that made a gesture with his finger, like saying, like, you know, making a shape of a vase in the air. Instead of a pei, you made a vase. So he said, why did he make a gesture? Why not just venamele, just say, all right, say kfutal, and say kvutal, and say kfutal. Memer kriyashma hava. He was, Kari, he was reading kriyashma. During kriyashma, you're not allowed to speak. So v'chia gavna mishari, but is it permitted to make gestures also during the Shema? V'hamer Reb Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Marsa ha'kari es ha'shema lo yirmas be'enav. When a person's reading Shema, don't make any hints with your eyes. Don't wink. Don't blink your eyes to get somebody's attention. Lo yikrots b'sfosav. Don't like mouth lip anything with your lips. Lo yorab b'sfosav. Don't point anything out with your fingers. V'tani Reb Yitzchak chasma omer ha'kari es ha'shema. And somebody who does read Shema umirames be'enav umakaris b'sfosav mar be'elchav. And he does any of these gestures. Alava kasev omer on this and says. Lo osi karas Yaakov. I don't call you. You're not considered Yaakov. Not sure exactly what that means. It's pretty harsh. Pretty harsh. You're saying Kriya Shema. You're supposed to say Yichud Hashem, and you're busy looking at other things and doing other things. This is not. So how could Rab possibly do this? So lo kasha. Habi Parag Rishon. Habi Parag Sheni. During Parag Rishon, where it's really Baptist Hashem Elokecha, we're really declaring Omuch Hashemayim and the Avav Hashem.
It says because when Yaakov went down to Mitzrayim and he kissed Yosef, it says that Yosef kissed Yaakov, Yaakov kissed Yosef. Why? Because he was saying Kriya Shema.
Right.
So it says, so even though he didn't see Yosef for such a long time, He didn't stare off.
That's what Yaakov did. So if you want to be Yaakov, you have to do the same thing.
You're not going to be like Yaakov because that's what Yaakov did. That he didn't budge because he was saying.
Who says
Kriya
that? Ben Yehuda or something, or in Yaakov. It's a beautiful shot.
It doesn't say.
Okay. Marsha, nice word.
Marsha, okay. Yeah, Bimidash Shuva Barashi.
Okay. So, anyways, the difference is Habib Parak Rishon, Habib Parak Sheni. In Parak Rishon, you can't make any gestures. Parak Sheni, you weren't allowed to. So, Rav apparently was learning, he was doing the saying Parak Sheni, the Hayam Shema of Shema, and that was permitted to do these gestures, and that's why Kavutal, not Kavutal. Says the Gemara further, Tanur Rabbanim.
One is being a prakim and one is in the middle, or one is.
According to this, no, what I thought was one was in. Yeah. So you look at Rashi. Rashi is Perek Rishon. Tzarech bo kavanah. You need kavanah during Perek Rishon. Shenemar bo v'hayu hadvarim ha'ila alavavcha. Alavavcha. Remember the Maseches Brachos way back had different opinions which first pasuk, first perek, what you need kavanah for. So Gemara continues and quotes the Brayis of Tanur Rabbanan. V'divarta bam. And you should speak them. You should speak the words of Shema. B'divrei Torah, says Rashi. You should be learning. Bam lo b'tvila. That means learning, but not during tefillah. So you look at Rashi. See, Rashi is bum. Sheyesh lecha lashmir masha tamoti mipicha. You're supposed to say out loud. But you brought the bum. Speak the word. Say Shema. Say it out loud. We have to. Eis Hashem. Okay. Say it out loud. A little bit tefillah. When it comes to tefillah, says Rashi, she tefillah belacha. She has to be quiet. She nemar the kol lo yishma. When it came to Chana, when Chana was davening, she had no children. She was davening quietly. We learn a lot of halachas of tefillah from her.
But this only means Shmona Esrei.
Exactly. Only Shmona Esrei.
Lips removing, nothing coming out.
Exactly, right. Rabbi Kiviger quotes the brachos, right? That brachos daf lamin alf. Exactly, she's speaking. They thought she was drunk. She's speaking to herself. It looked like. So that's based on that halacha.
That's what we learned, that you're allowed to do that.
Do what? Quietly. Right? You're supposed to hear like maybe a little bit softly, but don't disrupt anybody else. There's a shaila whether or not when you're home and nobody bechid this and nobody's there, are you allowed to daven out loud or not as well? Are you allowed to daven out loud? So then the Gemara continues another drasha from the word v'dibarta bam bam v'lo b'tefila. You speak the words of Shema out loud, but you don't speak the words of tefila outside. V'dibarta bam Bam yesh lecha rishus ladaber v'lo b'dvarim acherim. You're allowed to speak these words of divrei Torah, but you can't speak dvarim b'talim. You can't waste words. Says Rashi, what does mean v'lo b'dvarim acherim? Sicha say you're allowed to makalas rosh. You can't speak. What's a good word? Just nonsense. You have to speak a thing of something
this
worthwhile.
Is in general, or what is?
In general, yeah. In general, the Gemara says further now. Rabbi Acha Omer v'dibar t'bam aseo some keva v'al tasim arai. Make the words of Torah in something established keva, and don't make them simply once in a while learn here there. Make a keva time to learn. Learning in the morning, learning Tanya, learning at night, whatever it might be, have to have a keva. Amar Rava, this is a very scary next few lines. Amar Rava, hasach sichas chulun, somebody who speaks sichas chulun, just nonsense, over ba'aseh. You're over a mitzvah, a bit of aseh. Shenemar v'dibar t'bam, bam v'lo b'dvar macher. If you speak just regular smoozing, it's a aseh. V'ach bar Yaakov omer over belav. Shenemar kol advarim yigaim lo yuchal ish ledaber. All these different things a person can't speak. You can't just speak nonsense, just wasting time. Only Torah. Okay, so should we stop here then, or what do you think?
No, we have time.
We go?
We have time.
Okay.
It's only minus a couple of minutes. Fast.
Now it's 6:51.
But today is 7:05.
Yes, we have time. Tomorrow's a short daf. The question is whether we want to...
No, let's stop here because... You know.
Okay.
Yeah,
let's talk about it.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, tomorrow's a very short daf.
Okay, so again...
Shkoyach, Tzadik.
Shkoyach.